You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, they're back. Syracuse, a nifty big-time win at home, 83-57 over Miami. This is the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Rocky, Tim Leonard, welcome on into the show. If you're new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button. You'll get fresh Orange podcasts in your feed every single morning, Monday through Friday. And of course, also find us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse.
Final four, baby. Here we come.
Put it back on, I guess. I mean, what is happening right now with the Syracuse team? I'll tell you what's happening. Kadari Richmond's happening. I mean, the way that this ball moved with this offense when he was out there on the floor and the way that he just makes everyone better. Again, we've kind of talked Kadari and Joe this entire time, and we're going to get more into Kadari in a second, but a couple of other notes. We saw that Jim Boeheim, as well as the players, confirming that Joe Girard and Buddy Boeheim had COVID-19, which was something that we did not previously know. And then later on, we also have to tip our hat to Jesse Edwards. How about the performance for him off the bench? This was probably the best game he has played as a member of Syracuse. But we have to start with Kadari Richmond. An absolute, I don't even want to say revelation, because Orange fans have been clamoring for this all season long. But now I think this is where we went wrong as Syracuse fans. The conversation was always framed as Kadari versus Joe. That should have never been the conversation. It should have just been get Kadari in the game and pair him with these shooters, whether it's Buddy, whether it's Joe, whether it's Alan Griffin, although Alan was a little bit off in this game. Actually, I shouldn't say a little bit off. He was way off. Yeah. Only ends up playing 16 minutes. But when you've got a logjam at guard, it is tough to find a bevy of minutes across the board. So Kadari plays 21 minutes in this game. And again, like I said, the conversation was always Kadari versus Joe. It doesn't have to be Kadari versus Joe. It just has to be find this kid minutes, and he will go out there and put out a great performance. And that's what we saw today, his best game as a member of Syracuse.
You know, it's funny you phrase it that way, because if you think back to what our mindset was about Kadari, Joe, Buddy, the whole rotation in the preseason and going into the season, it was, oh, it's going to be good to see Joe Girard off the ball. I think that's going to benefit Joe Girard. I actually think that's going to be more natural for him. And that's what we saw in this game. And we just hadn't really seen
it click. He was phenomenal off the ball.
Like tip our hat to Joe, and maybe it was some of the COVID stuff that we find out after the game, as you said, that Boeheim announced it, even though Boeheim then went on to say something like, yeah, I mean, everyone expects him to be fine after he was sick. Well, we didn't know, Jim, and I'm not saying we should have known.
It was a little sketchy because they were withholding that information, because I think it was asked once or twice, did anything happen over the COVID pause that we need to know about it, and everyone was kind of secretive about it.
Right. But maybe that was what was holding Joe back a little bit. The bottom line is he's got to be more consistent, and when he's good, we know he's really good, and this is the Joe that we sort of had high hopes for going into the year. It finally looked like that team that I was really excited about when we were talking about them. Basically, since BC, we haven't seen him play like this, and it's basketball, and it's weird, and we'll probably overreact to this game as much as we overreacted to the last game, just as a collective fan base. I mean, obviously, we're tongue-in-cheek about the Final Four stuff. I hope our listeners know that.
I don't know, Tim. I don't know. I think we got a couple Final Four tweets.
Really? Did we? I wasn't
we
on
might
the Twitter
have. I'd have to check the notifications, but it was... we're getting a lot of... I won't say we're getting the Final Four tweets, but we are getting the We're Back tweets. We're Back Twitter is back.
It's funny, my buddy Chris, so he says he listens to this podcast, so this will be the true test. Send me a text, Chris, if you're
Chris,
listening
tweet the
to
show,
this right
if
now.
You actually listen, tweet the show.
Right, well, we always text during the games, and, you know, as of late, it has been a little bit somber, some of our texts, but he sent me something when they were down 11-2 right out of the gate, and we were just going back and forth, like, why are we Syracuse fans? Well, what about Alabama? Nate Oates is running a fun program, like... We're just sort of
SEC
going back
record
and forth.
For three-pointers today.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Nate Oates is killing it over there. But and then we didn't text for maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it was, and it gets to the point where they're up 50-20, and I sent him something like, wow, we're back. Like, we couldn't be playing better. So that's just Syracuse basketball these past several years now, it feels like. But good to see Joe play off the ball and look like the player that we thought he could be going into the start of the season.
Let me throw some numbers out there for context. Let's just start with the first stretch that Kadari Richmond comes in. The first 6 minutes he comes in, all right? Syracuse, remember, they are down 11-2 to start this game. And Kadari enters, and the Orange goes on an 18-3 run in 6 minutes. Gerard had scored all 10 of his points up to that point in that stretch. Kadari had assisted on 2 of his 4 field goals. Kadari had 4 assists in total and was even getting Jesse Edwards involved in the offense to the point where, Jesse Edwards, he had 3 points on the season heading into this game. He finishes with 7 to go along with 6 rebounds in this contest. And then Miami, this is the best part, I think, for Syracuse fans, is that defensively, Miami goes 1-for-5 and turns the ball over twice. That's the stuff that you like to see out of Kadari Richmond. And so for the totality of this whole Kadari stretch in the first half, he plays pretty much from, I want to say it's like the 13-minute mark to the 1-minute mark of that first half. The Orange goes on a 31-11 run with him in.
Wow.
They shoot 75%, including 4 of 7 from deep. Richmond's having a pretty great game himself. I mean, he's got the 5 assists. Joe has all 15 of his points up to that point. Miami turns the ball over 8 times, and Isaiah Wong is held to 1 point during that stretch. One point.
Wong did nothing. He was kind of a zero for them all night. You know, you say those stats, it's funny. It's like people on Twitter should have been raising pitchforks for weeks about this guy playing more. I mean, where was the Twitter crowd for the past couple weeks? Obviously, I'm joking, but yeah, like this was kind of Boeheim had to swallow his own words a little bit in this game. I will say I did see some people tweeting at us that you brought up the conditioning thing. He was gassed after 13 minutes from what I saw, or whatever the full length of that run.
And if you watch some of the old games too, he has been tired a number of times, and we can agree to disagree with certain people, and that's fine. I'm all here for conversation and dialogue, but what my eyes tell me, you watch some of the turnovers that he makes late in some of those games, I think he gets tired late. And we didn't really see him in the second half. I don't think he got in until like the 12-minute mark of the second half, so he had a very, very extended break. And honestly, here's what. I'm not upset with that he had a long break heading into the second half, because guess what? Joe and Buddy did the exact same things that Kadari was doing. They were getting deep into the paint, penetrating the lane. They were facilitating an offense, too, inside the paint when they were getting deep in the lane, or they were finishing at the rim. Joe had a couple of nice layups in this game, or like short jumpers that you will want and that you've kind of expected out of Syracuse and out of Gerard. So that's why I had no problem with the way Jim rolled with it in the second half, is because Buddy and Joe were doing the same exact things Kadari was doing in the first half, and why not rest the kid? And on top of that, get Buddy and get Joe their confidence back, and now that we know the COVID stuff, get their legs back under them, because I think that's a little more important, because as great as Kadari is, this team's ceiling is much higher when Joe and Buddy are playing the way that they did today.
No doubt. Gerard used his pump fake a lot in this game. That's something that I was advocating for.
He was drawing some fouls with it, too.
Yeah, he got some defenders up in the air. He had that one play. It was the first play, I think, when Kadari came in that they got the ball on offense, because I know Kadari got a couple steals right off the bat, and you could tell his presence was felt right away. But Gerard had this one sort of pump fake pivot into a bank shot from maybe 12 feet on the right elbow. I don't know if you remember that, but that was,
it was like a kind of
like
awkward looking shot, but it went
in. Yeah, but it went in, and I just was like, man, where's this been, Joe? Off the ball, coming around screens. This is the guy that I've been wanting to see, and he was really great in all phases in this game. I thought his defense was better. His passing was good. He only had 2 turnovers, 5-for-9 from 3, and I mean, we'll just have to say this before we forget, because him and Buddy each had 23 points. That's 46 points from your top 2 guards. I know it's Miami. I know Miami was kind of a dream matchup, as we laid out. They allow a lot of threes. They allow
a lot of makes.
But I'll
say this, too. This was a healthy Miami team, or a healthier Miami team. There was Earl Timberlake played in this game. He got 23 minutes a run. Cam Augusti played 20 minutes. this was not the Miami team that we've seen most of the season that was relying on some walk-ons from time to time. So that's why I credit Syracuse a lot more in this win. Now, they didn't have Chris Likes, but we've even heard Jim Boeheim say that this Miami team is better without Likes. And that's not to take anything away from what Likes is as a player. It's just that you can exploit them defensively a little bit more than you can when Isaiah Wong's out there.
Yeah. Miami just didn't hit shots in this game. And I know that's sometimes a joke, but they really just had nothing.
16% from
beyond
three.
The arc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Syracuse's defense was better, but it was also that was a good matchup against the zone where they were shooting a lot of threes that they probably shouldn't have been shooting. But Kadari's stats, we just got to read these off. 20 minutes of play, had a 119 offensive rating. He's used in 31% of the possessions on KenPom, according to KenPom in this game. That's the highest number for Syracuse, despite playing just 20 minutes. He has 8 assists in the game, 5 steals in 20 minutes. And honestly, Ty, he probably got, you know, gypped from a couple steals, because I remember looking in the first half, and I was like, man, he's deflected 5 or 6 passes already in this first half, and he had 2 steals or something. So he really probably had 7 or 8 steals that were partially or mainly because of him in this game. Only 2 turnovers, had a block shot as well.
And I will say, with those 2 turnovers, it's really just 1, because remember, there was the one where he's drifting out of bounds and he catches it and he's credited with the turnover there when he actually did get his feet back in bounds and they just made a bad call. So really just 1 turnover in this game too.
Yeah, no, I mean that Kadari, Joe, Buddy, and then it was Jesse and Quincy lineup. Man, was that good. We better see that lineup again, because I know it's Miami and I know maybe the stars just aligned in this game, but I want to see lineups like that where they're mixing it up more. It felt like Boeheim realized when they were down 11-2 and I was texting Chris that the season's over and yada, yada, yada. It was like, okay, we've got to make a change here. We've got to get Kadari in. We've bring in Jesse. I know that was mostly because of foul trouble, but let's just throw some different bodies out there and just show that we're making adjustments and create the illusion, if anything, that we are making adjustments. And that lineup really paid dividends.
And you know what? You bring up that lineup. Imagine that with Sidibe. Like, imagine how much better that gets when Barama Sidibe is that man in the middle. Like, not to take away anything from Jesse, because Jesse was fantastic in this game, but imagine having Sidibe and then your backup option is Jesse Edwards to spot him maybe if there is some foul trouble or something of that nature. Or so, because when Barama comes back, the rotations are going to look a little different. No doubt. And we don't know when that game is going to be.
Is Barama coming back, though?
I mean,
that's the question.
That's the question. I would imagine yes. But of course, that is the burning question on everyone's mind at this moment if you're a Syracuse fan.
Quick break to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the marketplace. My personal favorite. I actually just got a brand new loaded box of Built Bar in the mail yesterday. I'm so jacked up. That's literally like, in this quarantine time, it's one of the things that makes me the happiest when that Built Bar box comes to my door. It's that good. They've got 18 amazing flavors. We've talked about a lot of the new ones, but the 6 new ones are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Man, the apple almond crisp I got in my new customizable box, which I'm very excited to try. I've not tried that one, but a lot of these sound really, really good, and they are really good. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're good for you. That's the best part. They're low calorie, low sugar, yet high protein and high fiber. Great for a keto diet as well. So you can go to builtbar.com. You can use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word. It gets you 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. Again, our promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
We have to dive into this COVID-19 stuff because this was very, very strange. Jim alludes that Joe Girard and Buddy Boeheim are coming off of COVID, and that's part of why they have struggled so far. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, they're just pointing at this as an excuse. Well, that is about, that's not an excuse, okay? That's just reality. It's the facts, and it's something that's tough to deal with here. Again, unorthodox season. Weird things are going to happen. This is just the next in that line of things that are going to happen. But I'll say this. When I look at the Syracuse team, and again, we kind of talk about how Joe looks slow, Buddy looks slow, they look off the last couple of games. Now we kind of see why. And hopefully this is the sign of them turning the corner and getting past that. And then Joe and Buddy, or Joe, and then Joe confirmed for Buddy that they had COVID-19 over the pause, the latest pause after the Buffalo game. So I think that if that was the thing that was holding them back, I guess that's good, because hopefully this is a sign of things to come and that this can be a much better team moving forward.
So let's do an exercise here. I just thought of this off the top of my head. Jim said in the press conference afterwards, he said, "I think we're a better shooting team than this." And he's kind of been saying that for a while, and that's been one argument for why we should be a little bit more optimistic about the team after Pitt. I'm going to run down the three-point field goal percentages. And just real quick, we'll both go rapid fire. Will it finish higher or lower at the end of the year, if that makes sense? So right now, Buddy is shooting 29% from threes, 20 for 68, 29.4%. I'd say it finishes higher than that, right, at the end of the year?
Yep, higher. Mm-hmm.
Joe Girard is 36%, which is now up. He's 29 for 80. I think he was 33 going into this game. That's probably right around where I'd say he'd
I would say he's going to be in the 35-37 range. That sounds about right.
Yeah, he was low 30s last year, and maybe the COVID impacted it a little bit, and maybe, I mean, he's just inconsistent. So we'll say that's about where he's at. 35.8% for Alan Griffin, I'd say right about there, probably at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, too. We might see Allen's minutes get shaved a little bit these next couple of games. I'm not saying he's going to play 16 minutes every single game like he did against Miami, but we could see him. I mean, we've seen a lot of games where he plays 35, 38, sometimes the full 40. I think we could see him play like 30, 28, something of that nature. And I think that might actually help his three-point percentage, get back closer to that 40% he was shooting at Illinois. So you said what? He's at 35.8 right now?
Yeah, and I don't think he hit a three, or he hit one three when Kadari first came in. Yeah, in this past game, he struggled last night.
You know, I'm gonna say that he might raise that percentage.
Yeah, it just depends.
I think he's more likely to raise it than see it severely plummet.
Right. Right now, we're talking. Yeah, I would agree. We're talking here on Tuesday night after the game. He's about the only guy that's sort of down after this game, right? I mean, he only plays 16 minutes. Mm-hmm. And Boeheim goes at him a little bit in the press conference, says he's shooting step backs, and that's not what we need right now.
The shot selection he had in the first segment of the game was as bad as it gets. It was atrocious, and he has one turnover in this game. But again, like I always like to say, bad shots are turnovers. He had like three or four.
Right. The bottom line is, though, on the shooting, Syracuse is now 32% from three this year. That's 230th in the country. It's going to finish better than that as a team by the end of the year. And also, you just look at their free throw shooting. They're 14th in the country from free throws. It's 79%. I know they don't get to the line a whole lot, but Griffin, 86% from the line. Girard, 87. Buddy, 88. Even Marek is shooting 83%. He's only missed two free throws in ACC play. Now, Marek, that's kind of puzzling that he doesn't attempt threes. He's 0 for 2 this year. I remember his sophomore year, he went 11 for 29 from 3, and it was like, oh, he's going to add this to his game when he's an upperclassman. Then he had the wrist injury, and he just hasn't really ever gotten back into shooting threes since then. Kadari, by the way, is 2 for 14 from 3, 14%. Quincy is now dipped to 33%. He's 11 for 33 from 3, but real quick,
I will say this. I don't love the Quincy and the Kadari shot selection from threes. I don't. Those guys are so good when they get in the paint. And again, we're brushing aside the Quincy here.
I was going to bring him up. Yeah.
He was fantastic tonight. And again, it sucks for him because he's not going to get a single headline. Not a single one. But he was dominant in this game down low. 8 of 10 from the field for 18 points. Leads the team with 8 rebounds. And he doesn't pick up a single foul against a pretty physical big inside in Nigel Brooks.
That's amazing. Yeah,
that's some really positive stuff there. And again, he's not going to grab a single headline. The newspaper boy is not yelling his name at the corner, but that's the stuff that you like to see. And it's when that is your third or fourth guy making plays like that, that's when you know you've got something special. And okay, he only shot 1-3 in this game, and that's a great sign.
That's
there.
Great.
He knows that I have to get inside and cause havoc down there, and that'll give this team a great chance to win. And he did exactly that.
Right now, he's 24th in the country on KenPom offensive rating. His offensive rating is 134.1 after 12 games. 100 is an average offensive rating. Just to put in perspective, Buddy's 105, Griffin 103, Kadari 105. That's kind of the next best. Marek's actually 118, so he'd be the next best on the team. But yeah, he's shooting 66% from two. He's shooting 75% from the line. He's playing a lot of minutes. He's kind of tampered the foul trouble a little bit of late. We'll see if that
defense
continues.
Has gotten better from a year ago too.
Oh yeah, so much better. And that's the other thing about Griffin. When he was out of the game and they put Buddy at forward and they tried that different lineup, the defense got better. And Griffin's not giving you a ton in terms of 2-3 zone principles either when he's taking up those bad shots. You can see why Boeheim put him on the bench on nights like tonight.
Yeah, and you can't disagree with it one bit either. So now that Joe and Buddy hopefully have their legs back under them after their bout with COVID-19, if I told you, okay, I'm not saying they're going to get you 23 a night, but if they're going to get back to what they were from a season ago, how much better do you feel about this Syracuse team?
I still think it's easy to overreact after this game. Before I answer that question, like Virginia Tech, Virginia, your next two games.
This is going to be a pretty good barometer for you.
Yeah, I'll get on here Monday if those games stay as scheduled, or Tuesday, I guess, will be our podcast recapping Virginia from the big Monday game. That's the two best teams in the ACC right now, rankings, standings, whatever you're looking at. And like, if they can win those games, then that separates them from recent Syracuse teams. Because even last year's team, say what you want, I know they were probably worse than this overall, and they had some really bad stretches. Last year's team did take care of the bad teams in the ACC, and Miami probably wouldn't be a bad team if they had Chris Likes and they had more. And like you said, they were healthier than normal. This was a good win, don't get me wrong. Like, they're up to 44 in KenPom now. I mean, insert the Syracuse joke there, I guess. That puts them a lot better than what they were going into this game, which is 51. It's a big win for them to get them back on track, get some confidence for those guards. It was also a good matchup for the guards. And I think these next two games where you got Virginia Tech, Virginia, is where we really find out about this team.
Yeah, it was a solid win for them. And just to get back to the COVID thing real quick, I mean, we did see Buddy play a good game against UNC. So yeah. I don't want that to be an excuse for his poor performance against Pitt, because we saw him come out guns a-blazing against Carolina. So we have seen, and hopefully they're both doing fine and recovering well. And I know Joe said he is especially scary for him because he has asthma. So that's something that he's happy that he's considered physically fit and all that. But those two went 0 for 11 from three in that last game against Pitt. They come out in this one, they go 9 for 17. And if that duo's going 9 for 17, they are not going to lose a lot of basketball games, because that is just how good and how important they are.
No doubt. I just realized we hit the over on the prop shop three. So we set it at 9.5. They were 10 for 25, which is
Buddy and 40%. Joe almost took care of that by themselves. Yeah, it just kind of shows you. We got that one Griffin three once Kadari came in the game. So I guess we got a hat tip Kadari for getting us over that 9.5 in that. All right, real quick, it's conference championship weekend, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust to get all those weekend wagers in. It's betonline.ag. Right now, you can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. You put in $100, you're getting 50 on the house. Here's the best thing about betting football on betonline.ag. You can get ahead of the game right now. What does that mean? Okay, well, obviously, you know, you've got your Bills and Chiefs matchup, your Packers and Bucks matchup. But with betonline.ag, if you think you might be getting a little edge here and get out ahead of yourselves, you can lay a wager on the Buffalo Bills against the Tampa Bay Bucks in the Super Bowl. That's right, that line's out already. If the Bills are a pick 'em against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, or if you think that they're going to take on the Packers, you're going to get 2 points. Bills plus two right now against the Green Bay Packers. So for all you Bills fans out there, if you want to get out ahead of things and maybe you think this is the year that they're going to get to the Super Bowl, you can get in on that action ahead of the crowd. BetOnline.ag, the best place to go to get in all those wagers. Don't sit on those sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. there were a couple ancillary things in this game as well. We mentioned Jesse Edwards and Alan Griffin and Quincy Guerrier. Let's dive into Jesse Edwards because his performance in this game was very, very important, both offensively, defensively. Now, he just got you easy buckets, and a lot of that was the product of Kadari Richmond. Kadari had some great feeds. I think of the dunk that he set up for Jesse, and then how about the one that he had to Guerrier at the end of the game? Yeah. When the game was out of hand at this point, but he just feeds a little cross paint to Guerrier, and it was a perfect setup, perfect play. Dunk. It was unbelievable stuff. But I want to get into Jesse because if he takes this step and it becomes a player that, listen, he's probably not going to play 23 minutes ever when Barama's back. But if he's a guy who can get you 15 or maybe 10 strong minutes off the bench and improve that big man depth, because we've seen how this team struggles when they show no lack, when they show no interior presence. It gets really, really tough to watch this team defensively. And holding this Miami team under 60, I know they're not some scoring juggernaut, but there's plenty of good to take away from that.
Right. Why haven't we seen him more? I mean, that's my biggest thing, and I know it's the easiest
take
in America.
We see him against the big teams, right? Like, we saw him against UNC.
But it's only foul trouble.
That's when we see him. But, yeah, I don't know why we haven't. But I think there is also some merit to say that he hasn't been ready, because when we have seen him in games this year, he has not made an impact. Yeah, he hasn't made an impact. Today he did.
The thing is, though, we need him. And I know you're saying when Barama comes back, if he comes back, I don't feel great about him coming back. I mean, Jim is talking in the press conferences and saying he's not practicing, and we'll just kind of wait and see on that. So, and the part that bugged me about Jim's latest press conference after this Miami game is he's asked about Chris Likes and sort of what that does to Miami. And he's like, the thing about them is they have other guards that can step up. We lose Barama, we had no one else. And I'm thinking, why didn't we just give Jesse some run and let him make these mistakes? Like, let him play through those mistakes so that you could see performances like this. I'm not saying he was great. There were still flaws. He still had four fouls in 23 minutes. And
right.
He was out of position a little bit in the zone. But overall,
he also did cause some steals, too.
Yeah. No, I mean, he just is a presence. He's a body that can get a board.
He's 7 feet.
And you need that. Yeah, yeah. Like, you need that against UNC. You need that against Virginia on Monday, probably. You need that against Florida State. I want to see him more just from the standpoint of, if Barama isn't coming back, which who knows, again, it's all speculation, but let's just say maybe he's out for an extended period of time here. We got to have someone that can come in and get some boards and just hack some people and, you know, be a presence down there that will alter shots.
Yeah, it's the old walk-on. Yeah, I've got five fouls, and I'm not afraid to use them. And I'm not saying that Jesse needs to use all five of his fouls, but he is an interior presence. He can alter shots. He can do all the stuff that you need. He had a solid rebounding performance in this game, and that's the stuff you need. You need those type of players off your bench. And I don't know, are we going to see the Syracuse bench play as well again as they did today? Who knows? I mean, we didn't see anything out of Robert Braswell in this game.
Right.
We didn't see any Woody Newton in this game. Yeah, you're right. It was a two-man show. It was Edwards and it was Richmond. And who knows if anything gets shuffled from between now and when they play Virginia Tech this weekend. But we'll have to kind of play the wait-and-see game with it, because I'm looking forward to seeing how the rotations continue to develop over the course of this season. And you can say confidence is a big thing that goes into it. Sure, I'm sure it is. But I think it's more important that you have a confident Joe and a confident Buddy than it is to develop the guys like Jesse. But I will say this with Jesse. I feel a lot better at this stage in his career about him becoming something for this Syracuse team than I did about Barama when he was at this stage in his career.
Yeah.
Now, part of that might be the fact that Barama really wasn't getting as much playing time, because Pascal Chukwu was a solid player for Syracuse. And then also you think about, well, I guess he didn't really overlap with Daywon Coleman, but he had a little bit of Tyler Lydon that he played behind, Torian Thompson. So there were some things that you look at this team and he didn't quite have the opportunity, But I just still feel like I'm seeing things out of Edwards that I didn't see, especially offensively, that I did not see out of Sidibe in the early stages of his career.
Yeah, but by year two, I think Barama was getting more playing time than this.
Was getting more playing time. I'd have to jog my memory a little bit. But right. In terms of the flashes that I've seen, I mean, I'm seeing an offensive game at times out of Jesse that I have never seen out of Barama.
Yeah, he still misses a lot of bunnies and does some aggravating stuff, like not catching the ball, or he needs to put on some more upper body.
You see it's there.
No, I totally agree with your larger point there. I also, like, let's see some Frank Anselm, too. That's my thing with the rotation. I don't want Braswell to go away. He's key to the zone. We've seen him make plays that this 2-3 zone needs, which is someone that's going to be in the right spot, stick to the principles, get you some steals in the zone. I mean, he's proven that. He hasn't hit shots. He's only shooting 20%, but again, that's a guy that I would probably say, if anything, his average goes up by the end of the year. I don't want to see Braswell go away. I don't want to see Edwards go away. It doesn't have to be every night, but let's end up playing a rotation of 9 guys, and maybe Jim only plays 7 a game, and it depends on matchups, and it depends on how Buddy's playing or something like that. I want to see some Edwards, even some Anselm when he gets healthy. I know that's been a reason why he's not been playing, and same with Woody Newton. I don't think he's fully healthy, but I want to see those guys out there at some point. I know Jim never plays more than 7. This is a team where I'd like to see him go past that.
Yeah, this feels like an outlier in terms of at least the talent and the depth and the experience and everything. It feels like an outlier. Before we get out of here, I mean, I know we hit it, but come on, we have to talk a little more Quincy. I'm not saying we have to talk more Quincy, but like, he's phenomenal. We can just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Like, he is so good out there when he plays. I mean, he's a presence physically. He's going to play a bigger than his 6'7 frame. He's a force on offense. He's efficient with the basketball. Everything's a calculated move with him. He's unbelievable on putbacks. There's just not more that you can say, and it sucks that he doesn't get any of these headlines or recognition, but I think that is the ultimate testament to him, that he doesn't feel like he has to go out there and get 30 for his name to be in the headlines. He doesn't care, it seems like, and that's a great attribute to have as a role player on a basketball team who in reality is playing more like an all-ACC guy than a role player.
Yeah, two things. One, I would say this about Quincy. On a team that's been wildly inconsistent this year, and a lot of players individually have been inconsistent, he has been super consistent. It's almost unbelievable.
Showed up every single game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing that's held him back at times, foul trouble. That's the only thing that's held him back.
Right.
It hasn't been 7-footers at the rim. It hasn't been little guards picking his pocket when he tries to put the ball on the floor. Nope. It has been foul trouble. And he really has only run into it, what, once or twice?
That first Pitt game was his worst game, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. Outside of that, he's been great. So.
And then the UNC game, foul trouble-wise,
he was still phenomenal
in that game.
Yeah. No doubt. The other thing I have, Syracuse has dropped to 46 on KenPom. I guess some West Coast team, they were at 44, and it was setting up the jokes, but now they're 46. So I don't want people yelling at me tomorrow morning. These things are fluid. I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, they all shift overnight. I'm excited for the shot quality report. I know that gets you going. That's like a morning.
No one loves your morning shot quality more than me. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on this Tuesday. I guess, no, this is the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. So we will be back tomorrow. We'll get you all things Orange, maybe even getting in a little football conversation too, because there are some things happening there, some JUCO news and all that stuff. And of course, some coaching shuffling too. So maybe we'll touch a little football tomorrow, just a little bit to appease you Orange football fans. And of course, we'll get back to some more Orange basketball topics as well. I think we can continue to dive into the rotations and Kadari and Griffin and Buddy and Joe, how all of that's going to shake out moving forward, because it's a super interesting topic. Also, don't forget about this. Peacock and Williamson, you know, it's the NFL playoffs. They're down to the final 4 teams. NFL analyst Brian Peacock, former NFL scout Matt Williamson, they host the Locked On's Peacock and Williamson show every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the league. So get your picks, previews, much more every single weekday with Peacock and Williamson, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And I know we've got a lot of Bills fans listening.
Go Bills!
And it's an exciting time. And that's coming from a Pats fan who's ripping a little Go Bills right there. So exciting stuff if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. But you can check them out for all the NFL stuff that you want to hear. All right, that's going to do it for the recap edition. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.